So, for you folks, care to share a fun memory?
Fun memory.
Yes. Or Chris even, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No. I don't have any fun memories.
I was going to let you go first. I want to hear your fun memory.
I can't think of any.
Games okay. Isn't one of them.
We're going to have to cut this part out. Justin has no fun memories. I have lots of fun memories. I just can't remember them.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
Hey, welcome back to How I See It. This is part two of the Wives episode, where we have our first guest interview on the podcast, and we start with the VIPs, our wives, Megan and Chris. If you haven't yet listened to part one, we encourage you to do that first. You can find our most recent episodes by going to howiseeit.click/recent. Without further ado, enjoy part two.
So, for you folks, care to share a fun memory? Yes.
One of the first fun memories of us together was before we were together, and we liked each other, but we were kind of being shy and quiet about it. And then we did this play in school, and we were the love story in the play.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
It's actually called R. Miss Brooks, but
yes.
Close.
Okay. Yes. I had it way up here. I really did.
It was really fun and really terrifying and just kind of hilarious that we were playing that.
We had to look longingly into each other's eyes fake it.
Yes.
So was that a turning point you, Megan? Was this officially possibly dating?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, that I think that we just got more comfortable maybe being together.
Longingly into each other's eyes.
Yes.
Yes.
I got you.
That certainly didn't hurt.
I mean, I think I just knew, okay, I like him. I mean, this is for real when we did that play.
That was before we were
talking about it.
I mean,
Yeah, or even. We were hanging out, though.
I don't remember.
Well,
I'm not sure our relationship was this complicated.
It was complicated because,
it might have been right before we were really
together. Knew we liked each other in that play.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. I did.
That you knew I liked you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we got to do lots of plays together. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really fun. Yeah. Just singing and doing that kind of stuff together. Because of our school just did lots of
drama.
We sang in a barbershop quartet together.
Yeah.
That was very fun.
Megan wore a mustache.
I did. Mm-hmm. I was the tenor.
Wow.
Yeah.
So as you guys do worship together quite often, this is something you've really kind of tapped into from way back then.
Kind of. I mean, I think it definitely built it in both of us, for sure.
Wow.
And,
neat.
Yeah. It's a lot different now than it was then, but
We did plays, but we also did ensemble, which was what, 8-person, 10-person, like choral group. We called ensemble, and we would go to like state competitions, and
Chris is nodding her head because she knows that. You came from your own choral.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Not
yeah.
like that.
Serious, you know what singing in a group
is
like.
Yes,
fun.
Yeah.
And we played bells. We did bells.
Oh, wow.
I did that in the beginning, but I didn't do it as long as you did. But that was fun too. Just like doing
life together.
So
were these fun memories then?
Yes.
Just memories. So you
Thank
do
you
have
for
fun.
Telling me my memories. Now I can remember
and we,
my memories.
And we used to get up really early and go to school and play basketball together.
Yeah.
Before school.
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That was really fun.
Yeah.
At the school, like in the gym.
Yeah. Our coach was there, so
Her dad? Your coach, her dad?
No, his coach.
Oh, okay.
Coach, he worked at the school. He was the youth pastor.
He kind of encouraged whoever would come early. Shoot.
Other people would, too.
The way to practice your skills or whatever. Yeah. So
okay.
We both made it happen.
Yeah.
I may have knocked her in the head a couple times.
Many times.
That's not a fun memory. But
So who is more competitive of the two of you?
It's a good question. We might be tied. You might. I think it depends on the context.
I can let go against each
other.
Uh-huh.
I think her.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Really?
We also, our principal also called us into his office, pretending like he was super mad at us. You know this story. And he sat us down, and then he turns on this song. I started laughing. He turned on, "You Say Tomato, I Say Tomato." Ah. He said potato. Because he was teasing us, because we were always going back and forth to each other. Oh my word. I can't
believe it.
Sounds
like one of your first marriage counseling sessions.
Because we would compete in grades. Like, we would say, what'd you get on your test? Or, we just were always competing.
Yeah.
We were. Which that played into our marriage, too. And then we realized we were on the same team. That was easier.
Sure.
But, yeah.
And what was that turning point? To be able to recognize that you weren't in competition with each other, but you,
I think it wasn't that long ago, and I think it was when we learned to disagree. And, there wasn't someone that had to be right and someone that had to be wrong in a lot of things. In a lot of things. Like, there's some things that maybe we need
to disagree.
We need to figure out, you know, where we stand, but, like, there's just a lot of areas where we just really think way differently about, like, you know. What should we do with this plant? Should we trim it back or not? we could just, like, you know, each have a different opinion about it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Even though someone's probably right, someone's probably wrong.
It's probably you. For the record, it's probably Megan that's right. That's just for the record. That's not actually what I say in private.
Okay. His competitive side comes out a little more. He has an opinion.
That's right.
That's right.
I think it's the stubbornness more than competitiveness, but, I guess they're similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're both pretty competitive.
Yeah.
I like to think that's calmed down a lot, at least in me.
I think years ago we decided that competing is really fun, and not just to each other, but even, like, playing anything. It just isn't super important, and we needed to just not care quite as much if we won or lose at anything, won or lost.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of my competitiveness tied directly into the self-esteem issues, and so it's like losing meant loser, right? Like,
sure.
And so it had more of an existential, struggle. I can especially remember, like, basketball games in high school. Just they would just wreck me if we didn't do well and if we didn't meet an expectation. I remember one year we hosted a tournament at our school every year. It was. And this I think it was my senior year. We were supposed to win it because we had the senior, we had a good crew, and we got second.
This was your year.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, second. And, that means you're the first loser. Like, we lost, and I was just so mad.
Wow.
And, like, I still think about that. Because I'm pretty sure I, like, balled up under a bench in the locker room, and I was just mad. Like, just very, very impacted by it. And I still think about that all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird.
One of those fun memories.
Yeah, fun. Yeah, I mean, yeah, real fun. Fun memories. I have so many fun memories with our kids, with each other, with, and then you also mentioned worship, and that's certainly, fun is part of it, but just one of the most meaningful activities that we get to do together, to me, is worship. And that was something I had to learn. Like, that wasn't something we came into our marriage with. Like, we did an ensemble or whatever, but I didn't, I wasn't a musician, really. Right. And so through the course of the years, learned guitar and then started singing with her, mostly in Celebrate Recovery. Just growing into that and getting that opportunity was really.
I taught them how to sing harmony by listening to the Dixie Chicks.
That's right.
Wow.
So they've got really good 3-part harmony. So it was easy.
So I sing lots of Dixie Chicks.
Wow. Are they in Point of Grace? Do you remember Point of Grace?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I can hear that. It's like whenever
they
I hear,
did have a good point.
Yeah, whenever I hear ladies kind of mm-hmm. do that harmony
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Like, oh, I forgot about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's one of those
I'm
songs?
Trying to think of another
your favorite song.
I couldn't sing one, but I can.
Keep talking. I'm going to find one.
I'm not the singer in our family. But yeah. Any fun memories? You're typically.
Well,
yeah.
the memory I had that was stuck out that I thought you were going to share isn't really fun. It was it was a memory of our first year. Pretty much epitomizes our first year.
Ooh.
So I had an apartment that I had had before, and then Mark moved in. After we got married, Mark moved in with me.
Mm-hmm. Good clarification.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And one day I came home from teaching, from work, and all the curtains were down, like the whole front part of the house.
Yes.
So you could see the street, right?
Yes.
And
I did that.
I was like, well, what are you doing? I was like, well, I wanted to see out.
Yeah.
You know, so he started changing my nest.
Yeah.
It did not go over well.
Yeah.
It was a shock to my system.
Yes, I can understand that now.
Mm-hmm. And
yes.
That was just part of our first, one example of our first year adjusting and
yeah, and it's at that point it's so
like control issues.
Well, no, I wasn't even saying that. It was just, it wasn't that I had a desire to clean them and put them back. It was when as I grew up, you know, you almost set your clock by people going by the house. You knew what time it was by, you know, this person driving by the house. You knew you had 10 more minutes before the bus would come because this person was going by. And so for me, you know, a house was a place you lived, but you still knew what was going on based on what was outside the windows. And granted, my family may have been overly involved in knowing what was going on. I can admit that. Yeah, Chris
Maybe.
Isn't getting But at the same time, you know, that was an important thing for me. And it's like to just see curtains. I felt
they were sheer, you know, so you couldn't see through in and out.
Okay.
You know, they were
yeah.
So they weren't like dark.
In.
It wasn't
yeah.
dark. It was just more of a privacy thing.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think part of that is just part of the difference between us. It was
one of the many.
It was, you
mm-hmm.
know, it was claustrophobic to me almost.
Yeah.
To be in there. It's kind of like when you're driving down the road. Typically, there's one of you who will ask to have the windshield wipers turned on, you know, because that's what you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like I can go a long ways because I just kind of look
You're
through
them,
the road, and I'm
yeah.
still out there, but I understand where Chris is at sometimes because that's what she sees.
Mm-hmm.
So it is interesting because that's where the curtains came from, was just a desire to be able to see out and to be involved in knowing who's going by, and if you wanted to say hey, you know, you walk out and say hey, you know,
yeah,
that
yeah.
kind of thing. So that's just been a part of our adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved shortly after that to a neutral place where it would be both of ours, not mine.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
that makes sense.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
That was one of our first
yeah.
rough
one
patches.
Of many adjustments.
Yeah.
Adjustments.
For sure.
Yeah, we certainly had plenty of adjustments as well, but I do think, like, we got to do life in a closer proximity for a longer time. Which
And we learned how to be adults. Together,
yeah,
like,
right.
Side by side.
You kind of hinted at you guys had gotten into your own little mm-hmm. worlds, and
Very
then
so.
Came together. So then you're having to unbreak some of those habits or reset some expectations
yep.
where we didn't have any expectations
mm-hmm.
yet. You know,
well,
so,
we had expectations.
Or we built them together, really,
mm-hmm.
right?
What were the expectations, Maddie?
I mean, my expectations were just that our house and family would be like mine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sure.
Yeah.
So.
That's kind of where the curtains comes from for me.
Hmm.
I was
yeah.
trying
yeah,
to make
yeah.
her apartment like my house
hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
I grew up in, too. I,
yeah.
yeah. Hmm. I can identify with that.
I think our first year, though, was pretty just happy because we were finally together and finally
mm-hmm.
and we've just been together so long and we were just ready for that.
Yeah, it was a good
mm-hmm.
first year or two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean
yeah
no all been good but yeah
I think
a,
but I
been
think
rough
there,
patches,
it was rougher
the
after
year,
the first
yeah.
year I wasn't
yeah,
saying
sure.
we didn't have rough.
So for the record, how long have you guys been married, just out of curiosity?
17?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
17 years? 2004 is when we got married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah. How about you guys?
25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I really, I mean, the whole scheme of things, it's not that different is why I was asking. Yeah. As I see it from 17 to 25. It's not a... Yeah.
It's 8 years. Huh?
Yeah.
Some people are like, well, we make it to 8 years. That's a long time.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
But it is, and I think about it in that context. It's basically just, we're almost like one life cycle stage ahead is really. You have adolescent kids,
yep.
And we're at that point of entering into young adulthood. And I think, not that there's, I mean, there's a difference, but yeah, it's not like there's a huge difference between us. There's not a big gap there, that's all. Yeah. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, as the older you get, the less that gap matters, right?
If
that
makes sense. I see what,
Well, you just think about it in high school, 1 year is like huge.
Yeah.
And every year you get further from that environment, it's like those years matter. Like you and I are friends, right. But in high school, like you would have been, you know, you were working a farm or carpentering while I was still.
We wouldn't have known each other.
Yeah.
In high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
Yeah.
Which is interesting when you think about if we had known each other. I don't know if my 18-year-old Chris would have been attracted to your 19-year-old Mark or vice versa.
No.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I think the maturity that happened in those 5 or 6 years prepared us better for each other. Mm-hmm. We were different when we were younger.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We're still different, but we're more used to it.
You got your his and hers towels now. That's good.
Let's not even go there.
Are you using her towels?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, am I using your towels?
Sometimes you do.
Oh,
really? Yes. Yeah, so
hang on. our bathroom towel?
No, listen.
Okay.
If we go to a hotel,
as far as I know,
if we go to somebody's house to stay, like my parents' house to stay or whatever, you will use my towel.
Yeah, I will.
I don't like that.
Wow. Yes, I have a point of clarification. If we're away, and this is why it surprises me, because if we're away and Chris has had the opportunity to use a towel, I have no problem.
Like in a hotel or a parent's house.
Yeah, in a hotel or their parents' house, because, you know, they give you those little signs in a hotel that say, you know.
They give you your own towel in the hotel.
Yeah, but they always put those little signs there that say, save water.
They're not going to reuse the towels in the room.
Yeah, anything that's still folded, I figured they can reuse for the next person, and it saves it being laundered.
Do they do that?
See,
I don't know.
That's why I share a towel. Because I don't want another towel to just have to go in the laundry. And the same thing for my parents. If we're going to leave, it's like, why use 5 towels for 4 people? That's why.
Or Mark's thinking, someone used his towel last time, folded it back. And at least if that happened, Chris already used it and got those cooties off it.
I have no problem with cooties.
His excuse was always, well, I'm clean.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's still my towel.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is the deal. You have come such a long way in your ability to share. And that's why the towel comment actually almost surprised me, because you've come such
a long way. Well, there's certain things I don't like to share.
Yeah.
And a towel is evidently one of them.
It is. Yeah. So, well, especially if it's so damp.
Yeah.
If it's just damp, it's got lots more use in it.
Yeah.
If it's dripping wet, then you might want to pass on it.
And if someone's provided you your own towel, why not use it?
It's just
another thing. If there's only one towel and if you're forced to use my towel, I would share it at that point.
I'm a conservative person by nature.
Yeah. You know,
to be able to conserve on environment and water. And yeah.
What else do you not want to share?
So here's the big thing. But we did come to a consensus yesterday at the house, at our new house that we are renovating.
Ah, yes.
Mark wanted our master bath not to have a door.
Mm.
Like, just to be open. So you walk into, like, this desk area. The master bath would not have a door, nor would the master bedroom have a door.
But the master...
way out of the master suite would have, so it would have one door for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we live.
Yeah.
So anyway, I wanted a door. Pocket door on the bathroom, just to get. What if we had company and they had to use our bathroom, right? You'd want a door on the bathroom.
Yeah.
Also, you want it, right?
And also, I want it. Yeah. I kind of like privacy.
Is there a door for the toilet?
No.
I need a door. And you need a door.
So we did yesterday.
You need a door. You could say we need a door.
I just don't think he can. I still don't think he understands it. He conceded to having a door, but I don't think he really understands the idea of privacy and my own space.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the aspect of it being the master suite, you shut that door to the master suite, and it doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're still in bed, whether you're using the restroom, that door says nobody else goes beyond it. Yeah. That's my perspective. But and the other thing too, initially, it was going to be a space issue initially, but we have resolved that. To where now she gets a pocket door for the bathroom, and a swinging door here to where they all kind of overlap. Mm-hmm. So it was a good team.
It was several weeks of not agreeing and him just not understanding the whole idea.
Well, I'm still
a bathroom door.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that I probably won't understand.
You probably won't.
But we also have a window in that bathroom, so. Mm-hmm.
So you can look out when people drive by. And
When people are coming.
Set your watch.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
That's but awesome. Yeah.
So that was a compromise as well.
It was.
Yeah.
So.
But I will say.
You share your space much better than you used to.
I will say that I think the reason I share better is because of CR and helping me with my control issues. Mm. Like realizing that I really don't have control. And so there's no use me continuing to try to take control, because it's not healthy for me or our marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well point.
So I would say the last, 3 or 4 years maybe?
Yeah.
I've been much better.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I haven't been so controlling.
Yeah.
And I will say, as we think about possibly the most difficult era of our relationship, if we were, kind of into, would that... I would say, I'm not, I think about that because I think one of the more difficult dynamics of our relationship came later on with the adolescent kids, to a certain degree, when that we recognize that control isn't something we have anymore.
Well, we really didn't have it to begin with. We just had an illusion of control. Mm.
Valid point. But I think... that was difficult, although I would say every stage has been better for me as us. But I think it was a turning when we began to have adolescent kids, because we recognized we were losing the thoughts, the idea that we had of us having control. And I think it was difficult, but it also brought us to an aspect of recognizing how important prayer is in our relationship, to be able to, when we don't have that control, to recognize, we can still have influence by prayer, and that's even more beneficial.
Sure.
But I think that would... So I would say, if we were answering that question to a certain degree, what was the most difficult and when would we grow the most, I would say they were both at the same time. For me.
Although I think it was at the same time, but I think for me the most difficult part of our marriage was when you switched careers.
Mm.
So, midlife career change into marriage and family therapy.
Yes.
So you got into a rhythm, right? So the first 10, 15 years, this was our reality. This is how we did things. You would tell me things, I would tell you things, we would know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We would argue, and we would each have an equal input, right? Mm-hmm. So when he becomes a marriage and family therapist, in my mind, he then becomes the professional relationship person, and I have less valued influence. Mm. And secondly, I didn't know who he was with, or, because of the confidentiality, which I had a really hard time working through. Not that it wasn't as much of a trust thing. It was like, this is a new way of doing things. Mm-hmm. We've never done it this way before.
It was, if anything, it seemed like we had secrets.
Well, it's,
I think, which we never did.
It's like bringing the bathroom door conversation back. Mark's not a bathroom door kind of person, but in this line of work, he's required legally to have that door with a lock and not let you in. So for you, that's like a version of Mark you'd never see.
Exactly.
You don't see in any other way. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
It took us several times.
So you don't want a bathroom door.
Oh, but I do. On my terms, though.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
But I would say that was really a tough time for me in our marriage because everything was turned upside down. I didn't know what was what. And
I can respect
what
that.
Was fair to talk about, what wasn't fair to talk about. If I had an opinion, well, he's the professional. Mm. Do I really have a valid opinion to share? Or if he says it, this is the way it should be. You know, kind of that whole idea of psychoanalyzing me. You know, early on he would say, hey, I want you to read chapter 8 in this book I just read. That did not go over well.
That was early on. I think even part of that was, you know, a curiosity from the learning perspective, but at the same time it didn't, and I think that process too, I think was hard for me to even understand, like the bathroom door. Because I didn't see who I was changing. I realized the secret part, as we talk about it, you know, now, was a part of it. But it was to the point of, I didn't understand Chris's change. You know, to the point of, I still saw us as very much equals. And the fact that I had a degree or even a license now, it really didn't matter to me. But yet, that did do something as far as you were concerned, from a hierarchy standpoint. And
insecurity, maybe increased the insecurity.
Because it changed how you see it. It didn't change how he saw it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I saw myself and my opinions as less valuable, essential, necessary.
Less correct.
Yeah, because you had the correct textbook.
You had
answers.
The book.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And that was one of those things that I really.
So when we would have an argument, I would pretty much shut down. It's like, well, I don't really have an opinion. You're the professional. You tell me. You know, I'd pull out the sarcasm, to be honest.
Yeah.
And say, whatever you say.
But was it humorous?
Oh no.
I'm just kidding.
It definitely was not.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that was the low point.
Yeah.
So I have empathy for people who change careers midlife. Because I think it is hard to get used to a way of doing things, and then it all gets changed. But no matter what career it is, it doesn't have to be therapy. It could be anything. Mm. But you have a way of doing something, and then it just all gets turned upside down.
So change frequently and often, and then it's less of an issue.
I suppose that could be an option.
Well, I mean, it's ironic, because you are going through some transitions now, building a farmhouse and potentially shifting away from some, you know, construction to some degree. So there's some of that, maybe.
Yeah.
But the experience that you went through, no doubt, has gained you some tools or whatever.
Sure.
For whatever transitions might occur. And not to mention your kids leaving, you're moving out and growing up. Right? Those are transitions too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're kind of doing it together.
The
now.
Empty nesting thing, right?
Yeah.
I
just said they're kind of doing it together now, the changes.
Yeah.
Mm. Instead of just one.
And I think I have a better outlook on his career. Like, so, you know, when our kids are 18 and I'm pulling my hair, I'm like, Mark. Help, you know, he then pulls these things out of his
book.
Are you saying I psychoanalyze my kids?
You could, you do. I don't think you psychoanalyze, but you just have a way of working things that I'm thankful for.
Right, so it came full circle to where you're like.
Yeah, I'm appreciative now.
Yeah. I'm also appreciative of
his
skills. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only his therapy skills, but his construction skills. And,
it's all coming in handy.
I'm grateful that God gave him all those skills.
Yeah. There you go. Depending on the day, right?
Yeah.
Most days.
Every day.
Yeah.
And now his sweet podcasting skills.
Oh, they're growing, but.
Y'all have a good thing going here.
Yeah.
But.
I'm proud of you both.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So what about you folks? What would you say was the most difficult?
I was thinking about that, and I think there's probably a few things that come to mind, but I think for it was mostly times where she or I were hung up in something on our own, which caused distance, right? Because I mean, I think about, you know, something you've talked about is right after Joseph was born, right? And it really, she was in her own world. And the same thing, like, there were some times where career and things weren't going the way I wanted or whatever, and I started to become kind of caught up in that, and depression kind of came in, self-esteem, all that. And it was, like, my own world, and same thing, like, our relationship started to suffer because in each case, we were dealing with, we were separate, you know, in our, yeah, and so, like, working through that and recognizing that that was contributing to even our own struggles over here in our own world was the fact that we didn't have the same support and love that we typically would have because we had, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think in the past we've kind of almost removed ourselves away to, like, help the other person almost, or, like, we didn't want to bring, like, I didn't want to bring you into it, so I just moved my struggles away and tried to deal with them on my own. And I think that you definitely have done that over the years too, or I just don't know how to help you, so I'm going to give you space. And so,
and we both have always struggled with the impulse to try and fix the problem, right? Like, if you come to me with your issues, well, I'm going to help you solve it. Let's be pragmatic about this and let's solve it. And that's useful sometimes.
Sure.
Not every time, you know? And so I think part of it, maybe it was a growth trajectory of, that's probably not going to work right now, so I'll just be quiet, or I'll separate, or I won't, or vice versa, I won't go to them with this because they'll just try and fix it, and I know they don't have the answers I need, so it's better to just avoid that whole thing. And I do think, like, we're slowly learning the value of listening and not fixing, and
or just being clear which thing we want.
And or which thing we're doing, right? Like,
or saying, I can't hear you keep talking about your issue if I'm not allowed to speak into it.
Yeah.
So you need to find help.
You need to go talk to Mark on the podcast. Yes.
Not on the podcast. But, like, I've said that to you. I'm like, I need you to go talk to
them. And I have as well, right? Yeah, because we're, recognizing.
Because I can't take this on.
I was thinking about that from even, do you think in some ways that factors into that sense of competition and winning? As I think about it, you know, it's like, how do we, if someone accepts my help and I can help, that's a win. But yet to just sit and be doesn't seem at times like we're doing
I think it's more about control for me, or
comfort.
Yeah.
It's about seeing our partner in any kind of discomfort brings discomfort to me, and so I wanna be comfortable again. So
yeah,
I wanna solve their problem. I think it has more to do with that. Like, we are notoriously bad at when either one of us is sick.
Okay.
We're just not like very. We're better. We're a lot better. Both of us.
We would not be good nurses.
No. We didn't have the compassion. Role was, we're like, just take a pill.
Yes. Yeah, our role was, you cannot tell me that you feel sick unless you've already, like, taken Advil or started to try and help yourself get better. Like, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear you whine about it you haven't done anything.
Yeah.
Take a nap, drink water, take an Advil,
whatever. Like, it's very much.
Yes. And we're fine with it.
Equal. Yeah. Well, we will.
But now we purposely try to baby each other.
we're working on
it. Nurture. Because it is nice.
Yes. Nurture, yeah.
Nurture.
Right word. Yeah, we're
not nurturing.
We're not very nurturing to each other. Megan is very nurturing to our children. I will say it's not like an inherent flaw in Megan, but just together. But I think
that could be the competitive thing. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's just interesting to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't like hold it against each other because we're like, well, I do it to you too, like, or don't do it if it's
Mm-hmm. Can we spin that last question?
Can we do it?
Can we spin the last question?
Yeah, sure.
So we just talked about the most difficult time in your marriage. What's the best time season of your marriage?
In the podcast, on a positive note.
Yeah. I want to know what.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you know yours, go first.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we're catching you guys off guard, did you? Yeah, flip that positive part.
Would say now would be probably, would you?
Go ahead. You're entitled to yours.
I would say because of being able to work together in marriage ministry, it's kind of a sweet spot for us.
Yeah.
And being emptiness is an interesting transition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I think now, I'm happy to say that probably this is one of the higher peaks.
Yeah. Yes. I would agree that right now, and I think, like I said earlier, I think for me, each stage of our relationship and raising our family has just been better all the while. And I was thinking about it the other day, because even though we're coming into the empty nest type dynamic, what was once valuable time, which has always been valuable time with our kids, and coming into empty nest, I miss that interaction. And, when we're playing ultimate frisbee, I'd miss both of my kids, but yet I'm also at this point where I want a different word than proud, because it's not about me and them, but I just recognize how content I am to have our kids going out and doing what we've raised them to do and become healthy young adults. And I think that has its own reward, if you will, to be able to see them going out and doing and,
and leading and forging their own faith and a lot of those things.
Yeah. So I think this is our sweetest time. And granted, working on the property and that kind of thing has been wonderful to have some time there with both the kids, in their own sweet spots. But ultimately, they've kind of gone and now they're doing their own things and creating their own lives. And you and I are still there and able to work together. And it's not like we've had exchanged relationship with them and we feel like we need to move off with them because we're still us, and I think it does get sweeter and there's opportunity to be us more so. I would
and
agree.
Now that we've solved the bathroom door issue, that is so good.
You better wait till the door's in.
I better.
We'll still need a towel holder for two towels.
To be continued on the door.
Yes. It's going to be a pocket door. Pocket door.
He's like, it's there, trust me.
I wrote it on the subfloor yesterday.
Okay. Oh, now it's official.
But it's still in pencil.
I told him, I said that the contractor might forget, but I'm going to write it here on the floor just so he doesn't.
The contractor.
Yes. Right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well.
So what do y'all think? Yeah.
Your answer's a good one for us, too. We were shaking or nodding our head together, and that sounded very similar to where we're at, right?
Yeah. I think we've had lots of, ups and downs, the first maybe even 14, 15 years of our marriage, really high highs and, kind of low lows and middles and all that. But I feel like now we put in a lot of work with how we communicate with each other and how we care for each other. And so now, it kind of has stabilized to a really peaceful, joyful, choice that we make every day to have a good marriage and a good relationship, instead of just oh, I hope today's a good day. I don't know. Or what's going on? I don't have no idea. I just feel like we were just learning for so long and just falling into just really strong desire to be there for each other and mm-hmm. communicate well and have mm-hmm. fun together and parenting together. When we're on the same team with parenting now, I mm-hmm. think more than, or like tag teaming it at mm-hmm. least.
Sure.
A lot yeah. of tag teaming.
And I, if I may, I give you guys credit for figuring that out. Because I'll say, I think it, I'll be honest, as far as my thoughts, I would say we probably didn't figure that out till probably year 18, 20, maybe, I'd say 20. And, you know, but yeah, we've gotten to that point where it's almost like this is the benefit of continuing to work and to continue to learn and to challenge and continuing to come back together, even in that time when you feel, when, you know, there's the thought of, well, I'll just go my own way, you know, kind of in that separation thing. Not that it becomes a complete separation, but, you know, going away from one another versus turning towards one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we turn towards one another, even in those difficult times, I think, you know, now is the blessing for, we're experiencing, reaping the reward for doing so. And I give you guys credit for figuring that out at 15. You know, years in, because I, yeah, you're 5 years ahead of the curve as far as
we're concerned. Assuming it's figured it out. Figured out, I mean.
Well, I mean.
it's better it sounds now than good. It was.
Yeah.
We don't know how far along we are in it, but.
Yeah.
No, I just.
That's what I guess that's what I mean. I'm not sure.
We're hoping it's
how high this sweeter. Peak goes, but.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And I would say, I don't know, just a balance. I feel like we've had so many great years and moments and whatever, and then some occasional downtimes. I definitely don't feel like it was equal
there,
peaks and valleys. I feel like.
Well, I was just saying it was kind of more of a roller coaster ride.
Yeah. I agree.
A roller coaster.
Go ahead. A roller coaster that has continued to climb, though. You have the downs. Yeah, that's what. It's not all at the same level, and we're coming back to the beginning at the same level.
Yeah.
You're going, there's ups and downs, but ultimately we're continuing to climb.
Yeah. It was kind of like a free for all. Like, let's hope we can make it, you know, and just like guessing, a lot of guessing. I really think so. Like, and like how we talked with each other and we just like slowly built, I guess, slowly climbing up, like even with the, but I think now we like are very purposeful in having a good relationship and
I think
we do a lot more towards that instead of just like, you know, hoping it works out.
I think when you say hoping it works out,
not the marriage,
that, but I know, but I think it's very important to say that.
Yeah.
You don't mean we were like, oh, marriage is on the rocks, we might not make it, oh, pull up. Yeah. We might not, no, we've always
it's
been
like, will this be a good day or a bad day?
Right, or will this, will they respond okay to this, or will I respond to it? But we, you know, our marriage.
Oh, yeah, it's been good overall.
That's what I was trying to say, is like, despite the struggles, we have always had a really great relationship.
Yes.
But we've also, you know, we're human, so we struggle. But yeah, and then, like, kind of like what you were saying, us doing ministry together, Celebrate Recovery, doing worship together, has just been so impactful for our marriage in terms of just, looking together at the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we get so focused on looking at our own thing or at each other. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, the towel's wet or whatever. You know, it's like we're just staring at each other and the differences. But if we can just align our vision towards a common thing, sometimes in marriage that's parenting, right? Mm-hmm. And that can be good for a long time, but then kids go off and it's like, oh, crap, now we're looking at each other again. It's a problem. And so I think it's so important to have something to look at together. I do think kids is an important part of that, but also other things. And for, I think that's been really impactful for us. And we would come home Friday nights, and Friday nights after Celebrate Recovery, when we get home, was some of our favorite, I mean, fun memories, right? Those were fun for me, because we'd sit on the couch, we'd just enjoy each other's company, we'd kind of decompress about the evening, how things went. And, you know, sometimes it was like, well, a little hard because it didn't go great, so we kind of hashed through that or whatever. But ultimately, those Friday nights have just been so positive for us to just sit on the couch together and look at a thing together and talk about it. And,
creating a vision.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, shared vision. But yeah, so I'd say definitely right now, And I think, like you said, it continues climbing because you gain new ground. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're doing life right and you're not willing to give that ground up, like, we got this far, let's at least know this about each other, you know, like,
yes.
And we're not going back from this. Like, we now know, like, you love me enough that this is true. So, we, you know, like, this is okay, you know, whatever that thing is. And we can, next time we have a fight or whatever, we don't have to fall past this point. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that's been really valuable for us, too, because we're gaining new ground and new insight based on, now we have a new platform to stand on. Sure. And, like, new understanding and...
Yeah.
And even each one of those little difficult, not little difficult, but even if they're big difficulties, it is adding to that intimacy that you guys share.
Yeah.
You come to an understanding of each other in a way that you didn't before, you know, through that conflict. And so now it's not like that downturn, if you will, the you know, when your stomach is going up to your, you know, it's like, oh, here we go.
But I do like that part of our roller coaster.
You do, but in a marriage, it's not always fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, at that point, you can say, okay, this is an opportunity, and we're gonna work through this, and we're gonna come out the other side knowing one another better.
Yeah. And I think that's really important, like, you know, for the listeners to hear. Because, like, marriage is really hard.
Yeah.
And it's really wonderful. But, like, if you're expecting it not to be hard, or if you're expecting not to have to put in your best effort, like, you have to. And you'll have bad days and good days, but it will keep getting better, especially, like, as you and I have put in the work to make it better. And I guess what I was saying earlier is just not just hoping it's going to get better and, like, just, like, you know, kind of aimlessly going along, but, like, actually working towards understanding when you say this to me and I take it as the wrong thing, you know, but you didn't even mean that. And, like, even those little things that we work out so that we understand each other better just, like, make everything so much better and does make it climb. And I don't know, I guess I just always want to, like, I feel like we have a wonderful marriage and I love it, and, like, but I see, like, my friends who struggle and, like, you know, I've had people say, oh, I want to have a relationship like you, and I want them to, too, but, like, you do have to put in a lot of work. You can't just, like, hope, like, you can't say, like, oh, he's the wrong guy or whatever. I mean, we're going into a whole nother thing now, but, like, I think we work hard every day, and usually it's fun, all the work.
And I think it's important to know you work hard individually, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think there were many years when I always blamed, you know, I pointed the finger at him. I'm not happy because of you.
Yeah.
And when you start taking responsibility for your own stuff, you know, you get healthier. And when you get healthier, then the marriage gets healthier.
Yeah.
But when you keep pointing fingers and, you know, we're never going to get out of this cycle. There's no hope. I mean, you got to start with yourself.
Are you sure you ladies don't want to start a podcast?
Yeah. Now she sees it.
Because that was a great...
That was so good.
Yeah.
We can come back another time.
Yeah. What? Did you hear that?
Just one more time.
Write it down.
Just one?
Well, just because I feel like there's more to say. And I kind of opened up a can of worms, I think.
And that's okay. Thank you for sharing.
It's good.
Yeah. Because we need to come back to that even in some ways. How do we, you know, I think we can be here and it's good. And yet how do we offer that hope?
Yeah.
In some ways for somebody that's at year 7 and, you know, and you know, that incentive to create that hard work, you know. Because I think at times, you know, it can seem as if we're working as hard as we can.
Yeah.
You know, and it still seems like... You know, at times we're struggling. So I think this is a good, opportunity to make a segue maybe. But that being said, I want to thank both of you ladies for joining us and giving us the opportunity to see life how you see it. See the podcast.
And letting the listeners see life how you see it. Like, for real, I appreciate you guys coming on and being willing. I know it was a little, like... intimidating when you walked in here and shoved a microphone in your face, but you guys are awesome.
Yes, we appreciate
you guys.
You
guys are too.
Yeah. So this is how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said dot click, as in dot C-L-I-C-K. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.